This is Joe Ferrillo, and welcome to the weekly sermon from Manuel Church of the Brethren. We are located at 40 Sandbrook Headquarters Road in Surgeonsville, New Jersey.
This week's message is presented by Pastor Bob DeSalvio and is entitled, Look to the Heavens.
You know, Romans talks about the fact that you can't even dig into the ground. You can't even turn over a rock and not see God's fingerprints all over it. Now, I guess I've kind of been thinking about the fingerprints of God in our life, because I've been talking about it for the last couple of weeks. But let's, this morning, take a look somewhere else. Let's look up and see God's fingerprints in His creation. Let's look to the cosmos. Let's look up over our head. Someone said that the Bible is the history book of the universe. Think about that. The Bible, under the inspiration of the God who designed and created the universe, informs us in His Word how it began, how the universe came to be the way it is today, and how it works. The Bible is not a book of science. It's not a science textbook. And by the way, I think that's a good thing, because our science textbooks are based on well-intentioned ideas of people who don't know everything and who make mistakes. Men wrote science books. That's why science textbooks change from time to time, because new evidence comes up and they've got to make that change. And as science realizes they were wrong about certain things, then those science books have got to change. And from when I went to school, well, what we learned about the human cell, many of you may have learned the same kind of stuff about how simple it was, to textbooks today, which talks about how complex an individual cell is, we realize that things have changed. But listen to this. The Bible never changes. Science textbook changes, but the Bible never changes, and it never needs to change. You know why? Because God got it right the first time. So what does the Bible teach about astronomy? Well, let's begin our research this morning by defining the term, the word astronomy. Here's what the dictionary says. It's the scientific study of the universe beyond the Earth, especially the observation, calculation, dimensions, distribution, motion, and composition of celestial bodies and phenomena. The Bible says this in Psalm 19:1. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows His handiwork. And then Colossians 1:16 says, For by Him all things created that are in heaven and are in earth, visible and invisible. You know, the idea that things were invisible, but really were very, very important, is only a few centuries old. But not according to this book. According to this book, there were things that we could detect with our five senses, and then there were things that we couldn't detect with our five senses that fell outside of man's physical ability to grasp them. There are many arguments, philosophical arguments, that kind of give evidence for God. But one I'd like to share with you this morning is called the teleological argument for God. This is the teleological argument. It states this, quote, The existence of God is proven by the order and useful arrangement of the universe. The orderly world and universe in which we live clearly demonstrates that a great mind was behind its arrangement. You know, the Bible says that God is not the author of confusion, but God is the God of order. When you look at every aspect of creation, what you see is not chaos, you see order. I mean, you know, even space satellites cannot be launched into space until there is exactly a window of opportunity for launching them. So they focus at a specific moment in time when they can launch a satellite so it will get into orbit. Any other time, the wrong time, will cause a satellite not to hit orbit. Your body is a perfect example of orderliness. How your blood count, how your heart works, all of these things are in perfect order. And when they're not, you feel that it's called ill health. When things aren't working the way God intended them to be. So this morning we're going to look up over our heads, we're going to look into heaven, and we're going to ask the question, what's out there? So let's begin here with what Paul writes in 2 Corinthians 12:2. Now this is a revelation to some people, but what it says in 2 Corinthians 12:2 is that there are three heavens. Paul himself says, I was caught up into the third heaven where God is. So here are the three heavens. Heaven number one, you'll find in Job chapter 35 and verse 5, and it basically states that heaven number one is our atmosphere from earth to the clouds. That's what it basically says. In other words, it says as far as a bird can, high as a bird can fly. It's right here on our own atmosphere, and the Bible calls that heaven number one. Heaven number two is found in Genesis 1:14, and it's our solar system and the wider universe where the stars are, where the sun and the moon are, where other planets are. That's heaven number two. And the third heaven is found in Isaiah 14 and verse 13. It's where God is. He says, my throne is above the stars. Let's take a look at Genesis chapter 1, verses 6 and 7. Turn in your Bibles to Genesis chapter 1, verses 6 and 7. What's over our heads is the question. And God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters. And God made the firmament and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters and were above the firmament, and it was so. Under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, Moses wrote these words over 3,500 years ago. Now let that sink in. 3,500 years ago, the best a person could do was look up. And whatever their eye could see, and if they had good vision, they might be able to see a little bit more. They didn't have these, so when they looked up, they were blind. But what he found was, he says that the universe is stretched out like a curtain. It's spread out like a tent to dwell in, and it's named firmament. It further goes on to tell us that there's water below our solar system. It's in the lakes and the oceans. But then it says there's also water above our solar system. Someplace out there in space, there is water. That's what the Bible says, and that's what science has been looking for years. The idea of finding water someplace. Well, guess what? They're starting to find water in places like in the rings of Saturn. And you know by now that they're looking for signs of water on Mars. They want to know if there's water out there. When meteorites come down, they're filled with ice because there's water out there. In the darkness of the firmament out there in the stars, that water is ice. So the Bible, the very first book of the Bible, tells 21st century scientists, if you're looking for water in the universe, it's there. How do I know? God said so. And I believe it. Psalm 148 in verse 4 says this, praise him, ye heavens of heavens, and ye waters that be above the heavens. There's water out there. God tells Abraham to look at the stars. And my question to you is, when you look up at the stars, what do you see? Well, basically, you see a dark canopy, and you see a bunch of lights flickering or not. With a naked eye, that's about all you could see. But back in David's time, look at what he says. He says in Psalm 147, verse 4, that he, God, tells the number of the stars. He calls them all by name. Now, if you were back in the days of David, and you looked up at the stars, how many could you count? Well, they haven't really been able to do a good job of counting stars for a long time. There are estimates that there are over 100 billion stars in our galaxy alone. Here's a number that will really boggle your mind. Some scientists estimate that there are 46 trillion stars in the universe. That sounds about as much as our national debt. Only God knows the actual number. And not only that, but then he's named them all. And isn't it interesting that somebody made a business out of naming stars? That if you'd like to name a star after somebody, they'll be happy to soak you for $100 or whatever it is. We look up at a starry sky, and to our eyes, the stars all look alike. Well, for you, they all look alike. For me, they all look alike with my naked eye. Way back when, 2,000 years ago, when they looked up into the stars, they all looked alike. But listen to what Paul writes in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 41. He writes, one star differs from another star in glory. They're different, he says, 2,000 years ago. Well, listen to this. Stars are different. Stars differ in color. Stars range in color from red to blue. Did you know that? Did you see that the last time you were looking? No, I don't think so. The color of a star indicates the surface temperature, spanning from 7,200 degrees Fahrenheit all the way up to 36,000 degrees Fahrenheit. The coolest stars are red. Hotter stars are orange, then yellow, white, and finally blue. Our sun is kind of in the middle of those. It has a surface temperature of around 11,000 degrees Fahrenheit. That's pretty warm. That'll toast your marshmallows. Next, the Bible says that science says that stars differ in brightness. They differ in brightness. Stars range in brightness as well as color. How bright a star really is determined both by temperature and the size of the star. Big stars shine brighter than little stars of equal temperature, because large stars have more surface area. And Psalm 148, verse 3 says this, praise him, all ye stars of light. Much scientific investigation and political dialogue has been spent talking about and thinking about the canopy that's over our head in our atmosphere. That canopy is known as the ozone layer. Here's what the Bible described the ozone layer like 2,700 years ago. Isaiah 40:22. It says, he stretches out the heavens as a curtain and spreads them out as a tent to dwell in. That's exactly how science sees the ozone layer. We're kind of like inside here in a biosphere, inside this area. It's a protective covering. In the atmosphere, it has just the right density to sustain life on Earth. It shields out harmful ultraviolet rays while it lets in healthful ultraviolet rays. Think about that. This thing that's supposed to be up here by accident keeps you alive on this planet because it's thick enough, consistent enough to be able to keep out the rays, ultraviolet rays that are harmful to you, but it's thin enough or porous enough to allow the good ones to come through. How did that happen? I'll tell you how it happened. It's a God thing. The oldest book of the Bible is Job. Job was written about 2000 BC. You know what that means? That what I'm going to read to you is 4,000 years old. What were people thinking 4,000 years old about science? Not too much. Under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, Job gives us an amazing nugget, a golden nugget of science. At a time when it was commonly believed that the earth was supported on the back of giant animals or a giant god, this is what Job writes what the Bible says about it's free floating in the air, in the atmosphere. Here's what Job says in Job 26:7. He, God, hangs the earth upon nothing. You know when science finally put an exclamation point on that theory? About 400 years ago. 4,000 years ago, God said it. 400 years ago, we got it. It took us 3,600 years to get smart. I don't know. Isaiah 40, verse 22 says, he sits upon the circle of the earth. So if you believe in this book, You're not what so many people say you are, a flat earther. You're not a knuckle-dragging person from prehistoric times. You are not a person who believed that the earth was flat. If you're a Bible believer, you believe what the Bible says, and what the Bible says that the earth is round. But did you know that the science of the time, just 400 years ago, believed that the earth was flat, and nobody could circumvent something that was flat? You'd sail out on your ship on a flat earth, and it wouldn't be long before you fell over. Well, there was a guy over in Portugal and Spain who was reading his Bible. Turned out he was a Bible believer, and he came to this verse that God sits on the circle of the earth, and he said, you know what? I'm going to prove God's word to be true. And he began to circumvent the earth, go around the earth. You know who that person was? Christopher Columbus. He believed the book, and that's why he took the journey. Isaiah 50, verse 3, it says, I clothe the heavens with blackness. Well, what in the world does that mean? Well, you know, some things we don't find out until science does a little digging. It shouldn't be trying to contradict the word. It should be trying to find out what the word is trying to tell us. Well, this blackness that the Bible tells us about, astronomers have discovered something. The astronomers have discovered that galaxies contain an invisible source of mass called dark matter. Dark matter. Most astrophysicists currently believe that there is more dark matter in the universe than visible matter. Well, isn't that what God said? There's darkness out there. And then Psalm 8:8 uses this expression in the verse. It talks about the paths of the sea. Now, how would anybody 2,500, 2,700 years ago know about the paths of the sea? But there was a man named Matthew Mowry in and around the end of the 1800s. He is known as the father of oceanography. He looked at those verses and he said, I wonder what that means. What does it mean when it says the paths of the sea? Are there some kind of roads in the ocean? What's going on in the ocean that the Bible is talking about? Well, you know what Mowry found out? What you know today and take for granted, that there are continental ocean currents that bring weather and bring different weather fronts into a continent, into a hemisphere. He's the one that charted these warm and cold continental currents. Ecclesiastes 1:6 says this, the wind goes toward the south, turns around in the north, whirls around continually, and it returns again to its circuits. This was written about 2,000 years ago before science discovered the concept of air currents, like El Nino. That's exactly what that verse is talking about. It's saying that the winds blow in specific ways. They go from continent to continent. You can track them. There is some way that you can look and track them. Now, we didn't have the technology to do that, but it's the 21st century. You've got the Weather Channel. You can see it all. Air currents, weather currents, all thousands of years ago. And guess what? If it was wrong, we can't erase it now. But it was right. God was right. We now know the air around the earth turns huge circles counterclockwise in one hemisphere and counterclockwise in another. Just as detailed as Ecclesiastes said. And finally, Genesis 2:1 says this, thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the hosts of them. In other words, the Bible said that when God said that was the end of creation, no more new creation, that's when it ended. He's not creating anything new. His creation was finished once and for all. And that's exactly what the first law of thermodynamics says. And this is a very, very strong and very popular and very well-renowned and unrefuted law. And this is what it says. Neither matter nor energy can be created or destroyed. It's exactly what it is that God said. Do you believe God's word? I mean, if you can believe God's word about the sun, the moon, the stars, what's out over your head, can you believe him for your life? Can you trust the one who has the universe in his hands, whose great mind was the one that designed it, created, put it all together, has it hanging there for you to see? Can you believe him? Can you believe his word, what it says about receiving Jesus Christ, that life will have meaning and purpose if and only when you receive Christ as your Savior? Do you believe that? People are looking for some meaning and purpose to life. I was reading a statistic that said 25% of young people between the ages of 18 and 24 in Britain no longer feel that life is worth living. Life is not worth living. 20% of that age range in Britain has attempted to commit suicide. Why is that? 3% of Britainers, 3% of people in Britain go to church. 97% don't. They don't know about God. They don't care about God. The culture says don't believe in a God. The culture says if you believe in God, there's something wrong with you. The culture says that what this book says is right is wrong. The culture says that what you believe is something only for people who have a primitive mind, who are uneducated, who are unsophisticated. And you can't possibly believe what it is this book says, because if you do, there's something wrong with you. I got news for you. It doesn't take brains to believe what they believe. How can you look at yourself in the mirror and not believe this book that God made you in his image? How could you look up in the sky and not see God's handiwork? How could you turn over a rock in the earth and not wonder how it all happened? How could you believe that there are no two blades of grass the same, no two snowflakes the same, and not believe there was a designer behind it all? How could you not look at a baby like we saw earlier today and he knows my name and not see that the miracle of that life is a miracle from God himself? When young people stop believing in God and stop trusting in his word, what is there to look forward to? Don't believe in God? Then you don't believe there's life after death. If you don't believe that there's life after death, then what you have to look forward to is a wall. What you have to look forward to is the end. If you believe in God and you look forward down the line and you have your heart and your mind set on him and his promises, you don't see a wall. You don't see the words, the end. You see the beginning. When the non-believer looks down the line, he sees the words, the finish line. When you who believe look down the line, you see the beginning line. You're not coming to the end. You're coming to the beginning. Do you believe it? Do you believe this book? Listen, if you can believe this book for all the things it wrote about science and it was true, you should start believing it with your life. Don't let anybody shake your faith in God and his word, because the Bible says, let God be true and men liars. Stop letting people lie to you about how the world began. And don't be ashamed and don't be afraid when you stand for what God's word said. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. You believe that, and you believe everything he says after that. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the privilege that we've had to look up this morning. And when we look up, even in the little research that we've done, we see your handiwork, your fingerprints, on all that is called creation. Bless you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We pray that you would protect the hearts and minds, especially of our young people, as they go to schools where to believe in God's word is becoming more and more illegal. We thank you, Father, that we have the truth and we're allowed to speak it from behind the sacred desk each and every Sunday. We pray these things in his name, the only begotten Son of God, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Audio files, CDs, and notes of our weekly services are available on our website, www.amwell.org,
or by calling 609-397-4842 and ask for CDs by the title or by guest speaker. Please don't forget to leave your name, address, and phone number.